my church won't recover. I'm afraid. We're full of fear. Did you know that the first human emotion recorded in Scripture was fear? You remember God created Adam, God created Eve. They were happy in the garden till Eve ate of the fruit, gave it to Adam, and he ate of the fruit. They sinned. The fruit is not really the sin. The sin was disobeying God. They chose to do their thing instead of God's thing. They disobeyed God. And then something happened. When they disobeyed God, they recognized that they were naked, and so they hid. God comes walking through the garden. He says, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam says, "We were naked, and so we hid because we were afraid." We were afraid. It's the first human emotion recorded in Scripture. And that kind of makes sense because it is one of our basic emotions. It's part of our human DNA, if you will. It's part of our makeup. And it can be a good thing, by the way. Fear is an instinct in humans for a reason. The reason you don't stick your hand in a fire and watch it burn is because you're afraid of the pain. It's a good thing. The reason you don't play with rattlesnakes, at least most of us don't, the reason you don't play with rattlesnakes is because you're afraid you'll get bit. Fear is a good thing. The reason you learn to swim is because you're afraid of what happens in water when you don't know how. Fear is a good thing. But at the same time, fear can be disabling. It can stop us in our tracks to the point that we can't move forward. I'm convinced that God's not through here. Greater things are yet to be done in this city. But one of the things that has to happen for us to see that is we've got to face our fears. What do you think is the most common command in Scripture? As you think about Scripture, you think about God, what's the most common command that you'd expect to find there? The most frequently commanded thing, I know that's weird grammar, but you know what I'm talking about. You'd think maybe it's love people. Maybe we're told to love more than anything else. Well, love, obviously Jesus said that's the most important, but it's not the most commonly referred to command. Well, maybe it's to be good or to do nice things or to have faith. All of those things are good, but none of them are the most frequent command in Scripture. You know what it is? Fear not. Don't be afraid. Lloyd Ogilvie says that he has found 366 times in the Bible that it says fear not or don't be afraid. In other words, there's one for every day of the year, even leap year. Don't be afraid. Now, God gave us the instinct of fear to protect us. But then He gave us also a way that we can put our fears at ease. How is that? When I am afraid, I will trust in You. He gave us fear to protect us, but then He gave us a way to ease our fears when we trust in Him. That's what we're going to be talking about this week with our kids in Vacation Bible School. We're going to look at stories out of Paul's life. And as we look at them, we're going to learn how he faced fears and how we can do the same thing. Let me show you just real quickly what we're going to learn this week, because I want to see if maybe there's something that we can learn this morning as well. Starting in the book of Acts at chapter 9, we're going to start with the story of Paul on the road to Damascus. And on tomorrow morning, we're going to talk about dare to change. Dare to change. And you know the story. Saul was a Pharisee. It was his job to go out and capture these new Christians because they weren't following Judaism the way the Jews always understood it was supposed to be followed. These new Christians were they were viewed as kind of a strange sect that were going off the mark. And so it was important to Saul and those who led him for him to go and stomp out this sect called The Way, these Christians. So Saul was all about capturing them and even killing some of them along the way. He was given permission to journey toward Damascus in order that he could find more Christians to imprison and or punish in other ways. And it says that as he journeyed, he was coming up to Damascus, there was this light from heaven that flashed around him. And then look at verse 4 of chapter 9. This light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground. Heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and it shall be told you what you must do." Saul is walking along doing what he thinks is good, and all of a sudden this light just flashes everywhere and throws him to the ground. He hears the voice say, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he says, "Well, who are you, sir?" That's what that Lord is. It's not really the all-capped kind of Lord that we see in the Old Testament. I don't think he's using it as a name to God. It's just saying Mr. or Sir. He says, "Well, I don't know. Who are you, sir?" And the voice says, "I'm Jesus. You're persecuting me." Later, Saul told this story on a number of occasions. And when he told it, he said at that moment, he was changed. You see, he thought he was serving the Lord, but he learned he was persecuting the Lord. By persecuting God's people, he was persecuting Christ himself. And as Paul retells the story later, he says at that moment, he was changed. He was one person who started the journey, and then something happened, and he was a different person. The reason that happened was because Saul finally was willing to change. You see, one of the ways that we face our fears is when we dare to change. Change is not easy for any of us. None of us like it. It's scary stuff to change. But if God is working on your heart, I challenge you this morning, dare to change. Don't fight the Lord anymore. Don't run from Him anymore. If He's working on your heart, I dare you, change. Tuesday, we're going to look together at the time that Paul and Silas were in jail. That's recorded in the same book of Acts in chapter 16. If you look with me there real quick, in 16, we're going to start at verse 22. Paul and Silas are ministering in town. And folks don't like the way they're ministering. They don't like what they have to say. They don't like the fact that that they're helping people in ways that that take away their power. And so they stir up the crowd. And in verse 22, the crowd rose up together against them. The chief magistrates tore their robes off them, proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now notice what happened there. In the midst of the inner prison, the prison inside the prison, and then they're in the stocks in the prison inside the prison, they could have looked around and said, we've never been so low. It's never been this bad. They could have looked at their circumstances and they could have saying, you know, woe is me. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Some of y'all hee-haw folks remembered that, didn't you? Gloom, despair, and agony. They could have looked around their circumstances and they could have sang the saddest, sorriest old country song they knew. But instead, what were they singing? They were singing praises to God. And the Bible says that God inhabits the praise of His people. And as they sing praises right around midnight, God shows up and He creates a miracle. He opens the chains. He opens the prison doors. And all of a sudden, people could leave if they chose to. Paul and Silas, knowing that that would bring sure death to the jailer, chose not to. Instead, they stayed there and wound up having a witness to the jailer, being able to tell the jailer that God's power is the one that was at work. They were able to give God the glory for what was happening around them, and the jailer and his family all got saved. Why? Because they dared to believe. We look around at our circumstances and we say, it's never been this bad before. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what I'm going to do next week. I don't know how I'm going to pay for what I've got to pay for. I don't know how I'm going to live. I don't know. And not knowing is scary. But I'm going to challenge you this morning. I dare you. I dare you to believe in spite of your circumstances. Paul and Silas said, These chains aren't anything compared to the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it said they sang His praises and the prisoners around them noticed. And the jailer was saved. Folks, I tell you what, let's do something in our town. Let's make sure that tomorrow God receives glory for the work He's doing. Let's make sure that on Tuesday, God receives glory for the work He's doing. Let's do it on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Let's sing His praises in the midst of our difficulties so the folks around us will notice. And I'm telling you, it just might happen that some folks get saved. Revival is breaking out in our town. Will you dare to be a part of it? Will you dare to believe? On Wednesday, we're going to look at one more story about Paul. It's recorded in Acts chapter 27. And in Acts chapter 27, Paul is on his way to Rome. He's going to have the opportunity to speak to the most powerful man alive in that time. He's on his way to Rome. He has felt that call. He knows he's going. He's got to get there. And yet, he's on a ship full of people who continue to make bad decisions, and they wind up in a storm. In Acts chapter 27 at verse 20, we pick up in the midst of the storm, and it says, "And since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days," in other words, the storm was so dark, the clouds were so heavy, you couldn't see the sun in the day nor the stars at night for many, many days. "And no small storm was assailing us." That means if it's no small storm, it had to be a great big storm. "From then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. And when they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in their midst and said, 'Men, you ought to have followed my advice and not to have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss.'" I love Paul. I love it when he says, "I told you so." Because I like to do, don't you like to do that? "I told you not to do this. Now you've done it and you're stuck. You should have listened to me." That's what he said. "I told you not to leave, and you did." Verse 22, "And yet now I urge you to keep up your courage. For there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told.'" He said, "God told me I'm going to make it to Rome. And He told me as an act of grace, He was going to protect you guys as He protected me. So we're going to be okay. Just trust Him." That's our message. That's the message I think God has for us this morning. That needs to be our message to our community. We're going to be okay. Just trust Him. I know things are bad, I know things are scary, and I know things are confusing, but I dare you. I double dog dare you to trust. When I'm afraid, I will trust in you. So this morning, it's pretty simple, really. Fear is natural. And yet there is a way supernaturally that we can be eased of that fear. And the way you do it is pretty simple. Dare to change. Dare to believe. Dare to trust. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the way that You bring peace in the midst of chaos. We thank You for peace that overcomes our fears. Lord, we pray that You would help us today and in the days to come to face our fears by daring to change and to trust You and to believe. Lord, we know there's more to be done in this city. And we know there's no one like You. You're the only one who can accomplish all that has to be done. We humbly pray that You'd continue to bless and to heal. And Lord, if there's some way that we can be a part of that process, we open ourselves to You. We submit to being used by You to accomplish Your purposes here in our town. Father, as individuals, each one of us comes to You now saying that we want to be right with You. And in order to do that, Lord, we're willing to change and to trust and to believe. Help us at this moment to make sure that we have responded to everything You've called us to do. Help us make sure that we are exactly where you want us to be spiritually. We pray that you'd give us the wisdom to do what you're calling us to do at this moment, in Jesus' name. We're going to sing together our hymn of invitation in just a moment. And as we sing, if the Lord would call you to give your life to Christ, to allow Him to change you, I dare you to come. If as a Christian He's calling you to recommit your life, a life already trusted to Him, but somewhere along the way you got off track, if He's calling you to recommit your life, I dare you to come. If He's calling you to enter into missions or ministry and to trust Him with your future, I dare you